From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when two buildings were given new life in the Finger Lakes. First, in Hammondsport, on the southern end of Keuka Lake. The Park Inn is the oldest building on the square in Hammondsport, and Chef Dan Eaton has helped lead a renaissance there. Eaton's well known in Rochester for his television work, as well as his work in places like Rooney's, Tuvine, Riobamba, and more. And while he has occasionally taken his talents to New York City, he's a country kid at heart. Part of his childhood was spent on his grandparents' dairy farm in Vermont. So it's no surprise that the Park Inn features its own garden. And he's doing work there. And of course, it has partnerships with the local wine producers. The inn also features a full hospitality experience. The team has restored 5 suites in the inn. A short drive away on Seneca Lake, you'll find the Plum Point Lodge. The locals knew it for 50 years plus as the Rainbow Cove Motel. The team behind Plum Point have given it a new vision. There are cottages, motel rooms, a farmhouse suite, even yurts. Do you know what a yurt is? You can go glamping there. The restaurant features a Finger Lakes famous chef named Brud Holland, who has established Sepulta as a quick favorite in the local food and drink scene. Last weekend, several friends called me and tried to convince me to drive down from Rochester and drop what I was doing because it was just that good. Sepulta, by the way, is the name of a unique plum variety grown in the region. And last week, I got an email from a regular listener who said, "Have you been to Hammondsport? Get yourself to the Park Inn." So let's put a couple of new points on your food map and your travel map this hour if you're interested. Our guests include, from the Park Inn in Hammondsport, the executive chef, Dan Eaton. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Evan. Good to see you.
It's great to have you here. Organic farm manager Chelsea Reinhardt is also here. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And also here from Plum Point Lodge and Sepulta Dining, Natalie Travis is the general manager. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So there's a lot to talk about on how your projects came together, but I kind of want both of you just kind of paint a little picture on exactly where you are. I mentioned it. And if you've never been to Hammondsport, for example, it's one of my favorite places in the Finger Lakes, southern end of Keuka Lake. You're right there on the square?
We're right on the square, yep.
What's the history of that building?
As far as I know, it is the oldest building in town. It's been owned by other people for the last 50 years or so, kind of a tavern, local gathering spot, simple food. The people that bought it that are tied in with Point of the Bluff Vineyards totally renovated it, made 5-star rooms upstairs, and we're trying to get the food elevated as well.
All right, and you've been open for how long?
Well, the restaurant's been open for a little bit over a year. I've been there just under a year, so there was an opening chef that started everything up and going and then left, and I was tapped on the shoulder and jumped in, and I'm all in, and it's been quite a wild ride. A lot of things have happened since I've been there in under a year.
And are you a Rochesterian or are you living down there now?
I still have a home in Rochester, but I have, as I say, I'm all in. I bought a property on the east side of the lake. And,
I was going to say, that'd be a commute otherwise.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit of a commute at first, and then I actually rented a cabin for the winter, and now I have a place down there.
You rented a cabin?
Yeah.
You're like a character out of a novel. I would totally want to do that.
Well, I've been pinching myself quite a bit. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing.
Or was it like actually like really raw and a lot less romantic than I'm envisioning?
Pretty romantic, actually.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
yeah, I love this.
Right on a pond in the woods, you
oh,
know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Another confession is I never finished Walden. So if you want to talk about ponds. And
my son gave me Walden to read while I was there.
Did you
there.
Ever read
you know,
it?
I read it before, but yeah. Browse through it again.
I'm calling BS on you finishing Walden. You finished Walden as a kid?
I believe so, but
you
don't
did?
Ask me, you know. I bet my life on it.
I wish I were smart enough to have finished Walden. I couldn't do it. So Chef Dan Eaton is here. There's a little bit of the background on the Park Inn. And interestingly, Chelsea, you did some work with another person who was recently on this program, I think.
It's true. With
Petra Page Mann.
So true. Yep.
So So you worked with Fruition Seeds.
I did for about 3 years I worked there.
And how'd you end up at Park Inn?
I worked there for about 3 years, and before that I had previously mostly done vegetable farming, and transitioned to working with Fruition Seeds, trying to get, you know, another side of the produce world. Learned a lot from them and eventually became their warehouse manager, and then kind of decided that I was ready to get back into the produce side of things, and My friend Jeremiah Pacheco, Squash Blossom Farm, he's like pretty well known around here. He was actually approached by Dan and Brian looking for somebody to manage the farm, and he—
Or at least consult with, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And he brought it to me, and I just started meeting with Dan and our fearless leader, Brian, and it just kind of grew from there because they had this wonderful vision of what they wanted from the farm, and I was like, this sounds amazing, and I'm ready. Let's do it.
Where is it?
It is, it's about 10 minutes outside of Hammondsport on the west side of the lake. Mm-hmm. It overlooks the bluff. So it's, you know, up on the hill there. It's about, you know, 1 minute from Point of the Bluff Winery from their tasting rooms. And it's on this property where there's an old farmhouse that's been well known for many years because the people who used to live there have these immaculate gardens there, so people used to come and take pictures there. And it's 18 acres, and it's a wonderful property with a hill and a view of the lake, and it's really kind of the dream spot.
So there's a little bit of the background on Park Inn, which is in Hammondsport, and by the way, is open when? When can people get you?
We're open Wednesday through Sunday right now. And just for dinner, 4 o'clock until 9 and 4 o'clock until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay. And obviously they've got the rooms to stay.
Yes.
If you want to do that. Over at Plum Point Lodge, it used to be the Rainbow Cove.
The Rainbow Cove.
And it's technically in Himrod, but where is it? Paint a little picture for us on where you are.
So we're halfway down Seneca Lake, almost directly between Geneva and Watkins Glen, about 16 miles either direction, you'll find us. So we're right on the lake, halfway down Seneca.
Yeah, when that friend called me, I went, Plum Point. I think that's the road I pass when I'm going down to Weimer.
It is.
Herman J. Weimer. So it's not far, if you're sort of benchmarking in your mind where it is, not far from Herman J. Weimer, not far from a number of wineries there. And you have a lot of property there. Paint the picture of what's there now, what you've done with it.
So we have about 300 feet of lake frontage, one of the only properties on Seneca that has that much lake frontage, and it's actually flat. So we have about a 200-foot dock, a fire pit right on the water there, a gazebo in the lawn. Out back, we have an in-ground pool. We put in 6 glamping yurts by our—
Yurt, by the way, Y-U-R-T, and I don't know what the name comes from.
I'm not actually sure where that comes from either. I could make something up for you if you'd like.
No, producer Megan Mack is going to give me an answer probably within moments here. But so you got how many yurts?
So we have 6 glamping yurts, fully decked out, stand-up shower, cable TV, Wi-Fi, everything that you could need in a normal hotel room, but in a yurt.
And listeners, if you're like, what is a yurt? Just Google it. You'll see pictures. They're roughly all these little dome things, right?
Yeah, they're basically a concrete floor and then a permanent tent.
Yes. Very cool.
So my type of camping, because there's a shower and a bathroom.
as you describe some of these spaces, what was there before? Just the motel?
Just the motel. There was an old farmhouse. The farmhouse was built in 1802, and that's where the restaurant was. So then the upstairs, the old owners lived up there. So we took that and made the upstairs into a farm suite. And then below that is the restaurant, and then we have 3 sets of cottages. And then our other sets of cottages are 2-story, and all of them have their own balcony, everything looks at the lake.
And you've got Brud Holland, who I mentioned is Finger Lakes famous. He's been on this program and one of the really good food minds in the region there with you.
Yes, he's fantastic. If you haven't had Brud's food, you're missing out.
So Brud is doing the work with Sepulta. That's what you're calling the restaurant.
So Sepulta, it's a plum variety. So we kind of went all in on plum. If you look us up, you'll find that we painted the building plum. In the rooms, there's little splashes of plum everywhere. So if you don't like the color plum, it might not be for you, but it is beautiful in my opinion. I might be a little partial, but it just came out lovely. And he does a lot of dishes with plums. We have Sepulta plum jam that we serve with breakfast every morning. It's a huge hit. People die for that plum jam.
And so you've got the setting that you want there. You launched this project when? When did you get involved, and when did this really get off the ground?
So Dave Bunnell, a gentleman from Geneva, bought it 2 Decembers ago. He ran it last summer as Rainbow Cove. And then we closed October 22nd. I came in right before that. along with Brad, and we all met all winter long, at least twice a week, and talked about our vision.
Did you live in a cabin?
No, I did not live in a cabin. I do live in Hammondsport, but not in a cabin.
Okay.
And then we met all winter long, talked about what we wanted to do, where we wanted to go with this. We had a full construction team there from October 22nd to Mother's Day weekend, and that's when we opened as Plum Point Lodge.
Mother's Day weekend?
Mother's Day weekend.
Wow, so just a couple of months, just about 3 months now. How's it going?
It's going great. It's what we wanted. It's totally different than what it was in the past, but you're never going to take away the classic charm of that property. I mean, the views of Seneca Lake from there are just amazing. And everybody's really loving the farm-to-table style food that we're doing. Chef Bron Holland drives around to all of the farms in the area. We have a bison burger on the menu, all kinds of local ingredients that he gets on a daily basis. And he just puts them together in these new, fun ways. So it's really a... He took some classic dishes and put a Finger Lakes twist on them.
Because it's a summer food, we will ask all three of our guests in studio for their favorites on their menus, either maybe the most popular and then the most interesting. We will get to that coming up here. But before we do that, I mean, as we talk about what's happening at Plum Point on Seneca Lake, as we talk about the Park Inn in Hammondsport on Cuca Lake, everybody knows that the banks love it when you come to them and say, I've got this idea for a business. It's going to be a restaurant and hospitality because the success rate is like 100%. It's easy. Or the opposite. I mean, it's hard. It is a hard, hard business. There's a lot of competition. Technically, you guys are competing with each other, though I do think a rising tide lifts all boats, and it's exciting to talk to you about it. But honestly, I mean, I know the grind that it can be, particularly when you get to the winter months. So let me kind of go around the table and ask you what you view as sort of a reasonable goal and how hard it has been to make sure that you're staying on point with where you are. Because I know some listeners have their own dream. They want to do a bed and breakfast somewhere. They want to do something like this. But, boy, it can be hard.
It is hard. It's a lot of work. We are only going to be a seasonal property, so we will close November 2nd. We do plan on doing some holiday parties and things like that through the winter. But, yeah, it's a lot of work. I'm there all the time. It's stressful at times, but still so rewarding. We're hoping to, you know, ramp up the restaurant. We have to work with guests as well because we have 24 rooms. So getting those the menu right to where it works for local people that are on the lake that want to experience this food along with people that are staying in the hotel. So you have to accommodate to the children that are staying there and things like that. It's a constant work to make it right, and I think we're doing a great job at it.
And when it comes to the restaurant, you're open when? When can people get you?
So we do breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. The very first Sunday of the month, we do a brunch from 8 to noon. And then we do dinner 7 days a week, 5 to 8 for dinner. On Friday and Saturday is 5 to 9.
Okay, and so how many seats, Park Inn and Plum Point, or it's Sepulta at Plum Point. Sepulta has how many seats in the restaurant?
So we have 60 seats inside, and we have about another 40 outside.
Okay, that's quite a lot. What about Park Inn?
I believe it's around 70
okay.
total. We have two rooms. We have like a bar area that's a pub room with a big fireplace at one end and really beautiful room. And then we have a more intimate room off to the side where it's better for conversations and, you know, quiet dinners. And so we have a little bit of both going.
Okay. So let's take Plum Point first. Sepulta, let's say you got 50 people enjoying dinner on this gorgeous summer evening. What's the percentage that is local or, I mean, and versus, you know, guests who are staying on the property?
We're seeing a good mix. It's about 50-50. We constantly have people pulling up by boat onto that dock from across the lake from Lodi and Hector coming over. And we're seeing that more and more every day. More people are finding out about us from the area and coming by boat, which is really fun. And then about the other half are people that are in the hotel. So it's a really good mix of locals and tourists coming in and enjoying the location.
That's very what cool. We're seeing now as well. But when I first started last September, we knew we were going into the slow seasons and we knew we were going to be dealing primarily with locals. So we wrote our menu towards comfort food, you know, chicken and biscuits and macaroni and cheese and a lot of classic steak frites and things. And I think that we were well received. People were really happy with the food. And now that we have the farm, you know, producing more vegetables, fresh vegetables, and we have a lot of tourists from out of town, we're sort of amping it up a little bit and doing things a little more refined. And I think that's the direction we're going in. But I think initially, we really had to focus on the locals because being open all year around, we knew that we needed to have support from the locals. And I think we've been really successful with that.
No, it's interesting the difference in approach here. With Plum Point open seasonally, so essentially start of November, you're going to close until, what, April?
Yes.
About April. Whereas you're year-round.
Yes.
You know, there's a mix of philosophies around the Finger Lakes region. I think about the only place on Keuka Lake, which is just this awesome, you know, sort of Oakville grocery-style Finger Lakes store, this everything store.
And yeah. Such good sandwiches.
Such good. Oh, my gosh. It's got a Rachel sandwich that melts my brain and got this great beer bar now that Seth Olney has put together, probably with his bare hands. But they're seasonal. And they make it work, and they make the money they need to make, and they can do it. And that's probably harder. But there's probably this balance. So, you know, so Dan and Chelsea have got to decide if we're going to be open year-round, you know, we're not going to probably get the same traffic in the winter, but you got to have some kind of a baseline. You've got to have some local support. And So far, what has the reception been for you?
It's been great. I mean, people are so used to what the Park Inn was for so many years. They're still getting used to, the wow factor of it. And we have delivery people coming that haven't been there since we've remodeled, and they're asking if they're in the right place, things like that. But we're just moving forward, trying to make keep a good balance between attracting high-end dining and real comfort seekers.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting model. Listeners, we're talking to the teams behind a couple of new, and it's really new within the last year, operations in the Finger Lakes. One on Seneca Lake, that's Plum Point Lodge with Sepulta Dining. And over on Keuka Lake in Hammondsport, it's the Park Inn. Chef Dan Eaton and Organic Farm Manager Chelsea Reinhardt are here from the Park Inn. Natalie Travis is General Manager from Plum Point Lodge and Sepulta Dining. And we're kind of putting some pins in your map if you want to check them out. They've come really highly recommended by a number of people that I've met, but I've never been to either. So they're certainly on my map. So let me ask you then to tell the listeners a little bit about some of the food after we answer Harvey's question. Harvey emails to say, do either of these spots have outside seating? Are they pet friendly? Can they accommodate gluten-free dinners? Don't forget to eat your greens. That's from Harvey. So outdoor seating, yes, at Sepulta.
Yes to outdoor seating. Yes to dog-friendly. We have dog-friendly rooms. All of our yurts are dog-friendly. And as long as it's outside, we allow dogs at the restaurant.
What about gluten-free?
Gluten-free. We do have a number of gluten-free options on our menu.
Okay. So yes on all those, Harvey. What about Park Inn?
We definitely can do gluten-free. We have gluten-free on the menu, and we definitely are not forgetting to eat our greens, especially right now. They keep coming and featuring squash blossoms and squash and string beans and all kinds of cool herbs and things from the garden. Tomatoes are going crazy. We do have a little bit of outdoor seating on the sidewalk right on the square. We've had, we have music in the park on Thursday nights. We've had people come in and order 2 dozen oysters on the half shell and take them on a big platter back over to the square to have oysters while they're listening to music. So
that's great.
It's very cool.
That's really, really cool. And you only have 5 suites upstairs, correct?
5 suites upstairs.
5 suites.
The farmhouse at the farm, the Glen Scott Farm, that's what we've chosen to call it, the Glen Scott Manor, that's available for rental per week, and we're hoping
it's up on Airbnb.
It's like Airbnb or some sort of real estate. I don't even exactly know. But
it's definitely.
<You'll find laughs> I'm sort of lost in keeping my head above water with the busy season in the restaurant. So
the fun season. Well, so let's talk a little bit more specifically about the food then at Park Inn and at Sepulta. I got to start with squash blossoms. It was years ago that a friend of mine made. I think it was stuffed with chèvre and fried, and it was like mind-blowing. And I said, this is great. And she said, it's in season for like 3 hours. And I'm going, oh, that's too bad. But it sounds like, is there a little bit wider season for squash blossoms?
There is. So you can pick them off of summer squash plants or winter squash plants. So that can sort of like extend your season depending on, you know, when you start them. But it's more just they are very short in terms of when you can pick them, because you can only really pick them in the morning, very early in the morning, before it's hard to explain without showing with my hands, but you know, they sort of sigh open and you have to catch them before they fully release in order to harvest them and then bring them into the chef in time.
Okay, so you need to harvest them in the morning.
Yes.
Before they open up.
Right. And well, they need to be semi-open.
Semi-open, but not fully open.
Yes, and you have to harvest male flowers instead of female flowers because your male flowers are just the ones that are giving off pollen, and your female flowers are the ones that are actually growing the fruit.
So the male flowers are what
yes.
you need. Boy, this is a dainty little thing.
It's true.
Squash blossoms.
It's true.
Tell me how you prepare them, because the fried with Chev, I think, is probably classic, and that's
well, that is how I am preparing them, fried with Chev,
so,
and a little
so
bit
good.
Of Parmesan and fresh chopped chives in, from the garden. I think the chives and the Chev really pair well together. And then we're roasting the squash from the same plants. We're roasting those with sweet onions from Squash Blossom Farms in Naples, and then we're just warming the squash and serving the fried blossoms over the top with a little lemon vinaigrette, a little chive oil, Parmesan cheese, and people are going crazy about them. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, that does sound great. And by the way, what is the season? Because you mentioned there's different varieties of squash. What is the actual season for the squash blossoms?
It's anywhere from, you know, probably late June, early July, till it could be up until close to frost, because your plants will keep pushing, and also if you know, continue to stagger,
okay,
keep planting, keep starting.
So maybe our guests in studio can help me, or maybe listeners can email me connections@wxxi.org. Of course I'm going to be coming to Sepulta in the Park Inn, but I want to pick up some squash blossoms to make at home. Where am I going to find them?
You can find them at usually a farmer's market. You know, if you go to Brighton's farmer's market, I know Squash Blossom Farm usually has
squash blossoms.
That's
a little on the nose.
Blossoms. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
But probably not at grocery stores.
Right.
Yeah, because I don't think I see them there.
They don't have great shelf life if they're not handled very carefully.
Is it same day needs in terms of preparation?
It doesn't have to be, but if you're not getting it from a small farmer who's going to package them with love and care and deliver them with love and care,
yeah,
they're not going to last very long.
Listeners, if you are lucky enough to be in like a CSA that gets like squash blossoms, oh my gosh. So I want to hear where people are finding their favorite produce right now. So that's just one of the items, but what is your favorite thing on the menu and what is the most ordered at Park Inn? Chef Dan Eaton.
I guess I would have to say that the squash blossoms are probably my favorite thing. I'm sorry to keep talking about squash blossoms.
No, honestly.
But that's probably
my
favorite.
It's the time.
We sell a really good fish fry, and I think that gets back to like keeping the locals happy, but everybody loves a good fish fry. We have really great codfish, and I feel like that's probably our number one seller, but lately we have been selling so many fresh oysters, it's blowing my mind. I can't keep up with it. We need a dedicated oyster shucker in the house to keep selling them.
You present them cold or you roast them?
We present them cold, mm-hmm, and they're super fresh and been really well received. I'd say that's probably the surprise for me, how popular they are.
What's your favorite over there?
It's going to be the squash blossom,
yes,
as well. I know.
This is the squash blossom hour. I'm so excited.
We have beet salads. We have lots of great things right out of the garden. A three-bean salad. I grew up on a dairy farm in Vermont, and I think my whole life I've been trying to get back there, and this is really sort of getting back there in a way for me. And, you know, my grandmother's three-bean salad, we're serving it with fresh tomatoes added, sliced fennel from Squash Blossom Farm, and seared sea scallops, and it's just crazy. It's so simple, but it's so good, you know.
Awesome. Okay, let's go over to Sepulta. Your favorite thing on the menu and the most ordered thing on the menu.
So probably my favorite thing on the menu right now is our Sepulta pizza. Our plum jam is the base, and then we're,
ooh,
using local ham and bacon with fresh mozzarella.
So a little sweet and
that sweet and savory,
yeah,
feeling that you get from that, and it's just to die for. Our probably most popular thing on the menu is the hand-rolled gnocchi, done in a Chardonnay cream sauce. I eat it like it's my job, literally.
Dan kind of described the food at Park Inn as, you know, you open, especially in the colder months, you're doing a lot of comfort food. Now you're obviously doing a lot of what's in season, what you're literally harvesting yourselves. You're keeping it local, fresh, while also doing the seafood thing, oysters. You know, that's kind of a little tour through the food. So it's higher end, but it's also comfort food, and it's familiar, but also probably interesting or a little different. What about it at Sepulta? How do you describe the mission of the menu?
So really Finger Lakes Fair. We worked with Cornell developed some new seeds last year with Row 7 Seed Company. And we bought a bunch of those seeds and brought them to a local Mennonite farmer, the Hoovers, out of Penn Yan. And they sowed those seeds for us. They were really worried that they were going to get these new varieties and not be able to sell them. So we got the seeds for them and gave them to plant for us. And some really different, vibrant colored vegetables that we're getting out of it. We actually got some purple peas, which we're loving, and all kinds of fun textures that come out of these. So we're really highlighting the local ingredients. Chef Brad likes to go with a lot of local items, really highlighting the Finger Lakes Fair that we're getting these days.
So you can really be that in that mission because you're 6 months. You know, you're not 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not to say that in the winter, how local can you be in the winter?
Well, we work with Regional Access, and their Redgate Grocers part of their business, and they are a middleman between, you know, local meat and poultry raisers, and we get a lot of eggs and things from them. So we're not dealing directly with farmers, but we're using Redgate Grocer as a middleman to connect us to the farms. And we're, you know, working with natural chickens and trying to keep it as natural as we can.
We will have produce as well in the winter months, some of them at least, because we are putting up a heated high tunnel actually starting hopefully this week, at least next week. So
when you say high tunnel, I'm thinking like a root cellar?
It's like a large, long greenhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we'll be growing directly in the ground. So that'll be our season extension. So we will have greens and kale and roots coming from the high tunnel up until most likely December. And then again, starting in late February, early March. So there'll be a long season extension for us where we're, you know, there'll only be probably a month and a half out of every year that we won't be providing something for the restaurant.
All right.
And next week, we'll be planting a bunch of fruit trees and fruit bushes and designing an orchard. So we'll have a lot of our own fruit, too, to work with. And we want to be able to eventually maybe can some things, freeze some things. I took a class at the Cornell Ag in Geneva for a canning class. So we're trying to, like, really be proactive so that we're putting all of this work into the farm, that nothing's going to waste. And, you know, being a chef, I know that no matter what I create, I'm never going to create anything as beautiful as what's coming out of the garden that's already natural and perfect on its own. So for me to waste anything, it just seems crazy to me. So we're going to try to, like, you know, take advantage of everything we're growing and share what we're growing. And we're trying to have an educational aspect, too, where we're reaching out to Hammond Sports School District and get kids involved to see where their food's coming from and really become part of the community. And we reach out to other farmers in the area, other organic farmers, and we talk to them before the growing season and we say, what are you growing? You know, we don't want to, like, just grow our own food. We want to support other farmers as well. So we're trying to really be active in the community and be a player in the whole area.
Your comment about not wasting anything and the fact that you could dress up anything you want, but it might not be as beautiful as what comes out of the ground, particularly this time of year, reminds me of Dan Barber, the author of The Third Plate, one of the great food books ever written.
Totally
the man
influenced
behind
by that.
Blue Hill at Stone Barns, which is not a cheap dinner. But if you go, something like 40 courses, but one course will be like a piece of asparagus. And you're like, it was just a piece of asparagus, but it was the greatest piece of asparagus I've ever had. That's kind of what it is. I mean, I have not been to Blue Hill Stone Barns, but
I haven't either. We want to go for sure. We want to check it out.
But sort of that ethos.
Not that we're modeling ourselves after that, but in some ways we're totally inspired by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our farm is 6 miles from the restaurant. It's not like you're going outside and getting a tour of the farm, but we do want to include tours of the farm. We want to include tours of the winery. Mm-hmm. We want, you know, people to be able to have a bigger experience where they see where the food's coming from. They see where the wines, the grapes are growing, where the wine's being made, tasting the wine, driving up to the top of the hill and imagining if they're not experiencing the music events that we're doing, at least imagining, wow, this has got to be awesome. And we're bringing in national acts to the Point of the Bluff Vineyard. So it's like, it's just...
And you're playing some music?
Pardon me?
And you're playing a little music?
Well, I haven't been playing much music. It's, you know, the chef thing kind of gets in the way with that.
This is so sad.
It's sad, I know. But I'll get back to it.
I'm talking to Dan Eaton. And by the way, Adam writes to us to say, recently went to Sepulta. Most of the liquor was local, and my martini had plum jam.
Yes, the Plum Point Martini. Actually, we have a couple different martinis and drinks on the menu with the plum jam in it.
That is so cool. You are really dedicated to the plum theme.
Very all in on plum.
All in on plum.
So we have a couple different cocktails on the menu, and most of our spirits are local. Our wine list is 100% Finger Lakes wine list. All of our beers on draft are from the Finger Lakes, and we carry a lot of Finger Lakes spirits. So the plum martini that you're talking about, the Plum Point Martini, we're using the citrus gin from Black Button, a little Yobo Soju from Finger Lakes Distilling, and plum jam, shaken and chilled and served up. And it's really light and refreshing and a fun summer cocktail. You would think with the plum jam it would get really sweet, but it's just right for those sweet drinkers and those really people that want to taste the gin. We also have a plum fashion, plum Manhattan. So we threw some plum jam and a couple different cocktails.
Interesting. And this is a different Adam who writes to say, Evan, squash blossoms at the Rochester Public Market last week, at least locally. So Brighton Farmers Market, Rochester Public Market, squash blossoms time if you can't get down to Park Inn for the fried squash blossoms, which probably you need to. I don't endorse anything for the station. It's just for me. I haven't even been there. But let's take our only break of the hour. We'll come back on the Summer of Food with our guests from two, we're calling them, they are new. They're new in the Finger Lakes, and they are, you know, similar missions, but a little bit different. But over at the Plum Point Lodge and Sepulta Dining, that's on Seneca Lake in the town of Himrod. It's on the west side of Seneca Lake, not far from Herman J. Weimer, is a little landmark for you. And the Park Inn in Hammondsport is right on the square, the oldest building on the square. Now it's high-end dining among other forms of dining, along with five suites upstairs. So similar missions, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about who they view their competition as, what it takes to succeed in the region. I do want to talk to Dan Eaton a little bit more about his childhood, growing up, spending some time on the farm, and how that might inform some of what he's doing, what he prepares at Park Inn. So it's the Summer of Food here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, we sit down with the new senior minister of First Unitarian Church of Rochester, Reverend Sherry Halliday Kwan. She's joined by Reverend Lane Campbell, the senior minister at the Unitarian Church downtown, for a conversation about their ministries. And they'll answer the question, why go to church in 2019? We'll talk faith, social justice, and more. Second hour, we preview the Rochester Fringe Festival 2019. Talk with you Friday. This is the Summer of Food on Connections, every Thursday at 1 p.m. throughout the summer. Conversations on dining, food, agriculture, the scene. And today, our friends from the Finger Lakes coming in from two locations, one on the western end, western side of Seneca Lake. About halfway, maybe about 60% of the way down the lake, you will find Plum Point. And so we're talking to Natalie Travis, the general manager of Plum Point and Sepulta Dining. And over in Hammondsport, right on the square, is the Park Inn. Chelsea Reinhardt is the organic farm manager, and executive chef Dan Eaton from the Park Inn. And these are new enterprises that I guess technically are competing with each other. I mean, that's probably partially true. Is that fair?
I don't find it competition. I find it as collaboration with other people that are supporting our area.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, we have five rooms. It's not like we're going to, you know, swallow up all of the tourists. We love to be full, of course, but there's plenty of other people around to, you know, spend time in other places. But, and I feel like, you know, it's just part of like traveling. The views, the scenery is just so beautiful, just traveling from lake to lake and, you know, from Seneca to Keuka. And there's so much more to experience. And I'm glad there are different options, places for people to choose.
Yeah, imagine doing a crawl and, you know, hitting, crawling where you stay and where you eat. A lot of options. And so these new enterprises are the focus of our Summer of Food. And we're going to take a little bit more listener feedback before I jump in on Dan's background. By the way, Adam wants to know, different. This is Adam is the name of all the listeners today. Adam Wilcox wants to know, what's up with the Dan Eaton Band and any plans to incorporate your clay work at the Park Inn?
I've always, you know, dreamed about throwing pots or plates, bowls, whatever, and serving food in it. I love that aesthetic. I love the Japanese wood-fired aesthetic, and I think it really goes well with rustic yet refined food. I hope someday to have maybe the chef's tasting menus that we hope to do at the Glen Scott Manor right at the farm, where people can walk around the farm and, you know, help harvest some of the stuff. And then I'm hoping to do chef's dinners there, but that's a long ways off. But that could be a place where, you know, like a 12, you know, 12 people at a time could eat out of something like that. But that's another day. That's a lot of work, you know.
And what about the Dan Eaton Band?
Dan Eaton Band has been on hiatus since February, I'd say. Missed you guys, if you're listening. Yeah, it's crazy to, you know, I feel like, clay, ceramics is a big part of my life, and food, obviously, and music. And, you know, I've been stretched, you know, in different directions. But when the food is calling and the restaurant's hours are calling, there's no time for anything else.
Yeah, I hear that. Angela says, my backyard garden's going crazy. How's your growing season? It's a good question. How's the growing season been?
It's going great now. It was a tough early season.
Yeah, it's sort of May, June, half of June was kind of rough.
Cold and wet, and it took forever just to get things to dry out enough to do anything. And I know we had a frost warning in June, which is totally crazy. Yeah, so it was tough. But right now, the whole garden is exploding and happy and excited. And I know Dan and I love to like just sit in the garden in the morning and talk about life and food.
What is cranking right now?
Oh man, there's a lot of things cranking right now. The things that are cranking and I'm sending down to the restaurant.
Yeah, that's what are you sending directly to the restaurant right now?
Right now I've got baby beets, baby carrots, kale, Swiss chard, there's green and yellow string beans. Trying to think what else. Cucumbers have just started pushing.
Squash.
Summer squash. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Tomatoes. Eggplants have really started pushing. There's some hot peppers that have been ready. Mint, you know, a lot of herbs. I've got, there's sage, thyme, oregano, lots of stuff. And this is all in a small garden space at this point, because this year we're just growing in raised beds. Mm-hmm. And then right now I'm actually working on breaking into the quarter acre that we will be growing in next year.
By the way, oregano doesn't need a good growing season, right? It's just relentless?
It's too wet, it will. I had one plant actually rot and die.
Even oregano.
Yeah.
Though mint is probably the most like obstreperous, right?
Right.
It just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Takes over your life.
You have to be careful where you plant it, because it'll just take over everything.
I'm not sure it cares where you plant it. Yeah. It's going to go where it wants to go. Mint is. But then what's next on that hierarchy? Oregano? Like, what's the most aggressive herb beyond mint?
I don't know if I can think of one more aggressive than mint.
Yeah.
I think it's really, because that's why, you know, at Fruition Seeds, they don't sell mint seeds, because it's silly to start mint from seed. You just go to a friend's house, dig some out of the garden, and stick it anywhere.
You don't need mint seeds.
Yeah.
As long as you're not on a glacier, you can grow mint.
Right.
What's been your favorite part of the growing season so far?
You know,
not the early part of the growing season, it sounds like.
Yeah, not the early part. And I felt for Chelsea for a while. I felt like there was some depression setting in, because it was just the monsoons and the cold and wondering if the tomatoes were even going to make it and where we're going to have to pull them out. But, you know, I'm just lucky to be a part of it. I don't know a lot about growing vegetables, but I'm learning a lot, and just being there and helping to plant the asparagus, which is, you know, a year or two out at least, and planting the rhubarb, things that are, you know, rhubarb's close to my heart from my family farm and stuff like that. And then we compost all of our scraps from the restaurant, and I drive them up to the farm. And sometimes that's the highlight of my day, just taking a drive to the farm and taking the compost to the compost pile and just taking a minute to breathe. And then I go back down to the restaurant, and it's like, wow, I've been recharged just by being on the land. But I'm just happy to be learning about the whole process.
You have a pretty good Jedi with you there. What's been your favorite part of the growing season?
I would actually say probably right now, mm-hmm. those fresh blueberries that we're getting right now, they're nothing else like it. They're just so sweet and perfect. We're doing an lemonade right now, and just I love the
blueberry lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
With bourbon, Finger Lakes distilling bourbon.
Blueberry bourbon lemonade.
Yes,
I like that.
And the corn right now. I mean, it's just starting to come up, and that sweet corn. I wait for it every year. Yeah. It's my favorite part of the year is when the sweet corn comes up because New York State corn.
It is a good time of the year. Boiled or grilled, you prefer?
Grilled.
Grilled corn. Boiled or grilled?
I like boiled corn, but I'm a big fan of, you know, putting about a half an inch of water in a pot and putting corn in it and put a lid on top and steaming it for about a minute. And I'm not talking about boiling it until it's no longer recognizable, but just, you know, just giving it enough steam.
So shuck it.
You shuck it.
Half an inch of water.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a wide pot with a lid, and you just need the steam. You don't need the boiling water. People spend 20 minutes bringing a big pot of water to a boil when you can just, steam is hotter than boiling water. So just a little bit of water, put your corn in there and let the steam do the work. And not too long either. I mean, you can eat fresh corn right off the cob without cooking it at all, so.
I mean, you'd have to be crazy.
No, you don't. You're not going to want to eat corn from a dairy farm field off the cob, you know, but you can eat fresh corn right off the cob.
No, you can. I'm just saying. But but you're saying that's a more economical way, it sounds like. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Grilled or boiled for corn for you?
Grilled, unshucked.
Grilled, unshucked. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, even the hairs and everything, because it just burns off in the grill.
Yeah. I mean, but as long as the hairs do burn off, the silk, I guess, is... I'm the most meticulous silk remover of any person. I'm really rough on people if they haven't removed the silk. So the grilling does seem to do that on its own.
It's true.
So it's very good. By the way, I just got a text from Seth Olney on Cuca Lake saying, phone is blowing up during the lunch rush. Thanks for the show. See, everybody listens to The Summer of Food.
Hi, Seth.
If you're listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS, or maybe on the WXXI mobile app or wherever you are, we're talking to a couple of places on two different lakes, and Angela emailed to ask, can you mention again where these places are and if they're on the water? Plum Point Lodge and Sepulta Dining is on the water, and in a moment I'll ask Natalie Travis to kind of set the scene, because if you've seen the pictures, your vision of Seneca Lake may be a little bit like mine, which is there's a lot of steep edges, there's not as much flat lake access as there might be on Cuca Lake, that kind of a thing. Not the case there, but the answer is yes to Plum Point. Hammondsport is just down the street. In fact, the little street right off the square that goes down to the beach is one of my favorite streets in the entire region, probably next to Linden Street. It's just so charming. And then so you go from the beach right up the street to the main square. There's beautiful green space there, and it's on the square. So that's where the park inn is in Hammondsport, Angela. So these are the two places we're talking. It's a great scene in Hammondsport, isn't it? It's just so lovely. You feel like... you've walked right out of a painting. And you, Natalie, over at Plum Point, you are on the water.
We are on the water.
Set that scene for Angela.
So we have about 300 feet of lake frontage, all flat. There's a large dock that goes across it, places to launch your kayaks, stand-up paddleboards, anything that you can launch from right there. Any of our guests that are staying at the hotel, there's actually a public launch about a mile away, so our guests are welcome to leave their boat on the dock overnight when they're staying with us. So just a huge amount of lake frontage and just beautiful views of Seneca Lake. We have our two decks outside that we just added on. So one's an upper deck where you have high-top tables and get that full view, and then we have a lower patio that you can sit out on and watch the water, and then... right on the water, we also have a fire pit that we light every night. So you can just sit steps away from the water and sit by the fire and do your s'mores and all that good stuff.
And Angela, thanks for that email. It's a reminder to me that we kind of get deep into the conversation, but to remind you where you are and where these new businesses are, why not I have them tell you the website so you can check them out. Where are you online?
Plum Point Lodge, FLX.com.
PlumPointLodgeFLX.com. Park Inn?
ParkInFLX.com.
ParkInFLX.com. You spent some time in your childhood in Vermont on a dairy farm.
Yes, I did.
Your grandparents' farm.
Yes, my grandparents' farm.
How much of your childhood was spent there?
I was there until sixth grade, pretty much. My mom moved back home to the farm after my parents split up, so I was probably four when I moved back. And so between 4 and 12, I'd say I was living on the farm. And I had enough older cousins and uncles that did all of the labor on the farm, so I got to just, you know, run around and enjoy.
That's baloney. I don't believe that for a second.
That's true.
Is it true?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, yeah, I had cousins that worked.
Child labor? That's why farmers have kids.
Well, I did work on dairy farms after leaving and getting out of high school and stuff. So, you know, in the Ithaca area. So,
then what are your most vivid memories of the farm growing up?
The quiet, the sky at night, especially the green, the incessant, endless green of Vermont. We were right on the Connecticut River, so there was always the fog coming off in the morning. And I just remember just the quiet is what was so beautiful.
Yeah, you've obviously had a Rochester career that has been sustained and stellar here, but you've also had a chance occasionally to take your skills down to New York City and other places. Clearly, you prefer that country setting. You're down in Hammondsport. You launched this project. You're part of it because, I assume, because that's where maybe you gravitate.
Yeah, it feels like I've arrived, you know, come full circle. It feels like the people I meet are people I went to high school with. I went to high school outside of Ithaca. So, and I've always loved the Finger Lakes, and I take a lot of pride in how beautiful it is. And reading your book was so filled with such pride for the Finger Lakes that it's just the same feeling that I have about being in the Finger Lakes, being part of a restaurant and growing food and being partners with Chelsea in the farm, you know, collaborative. And it's full circle for me. Eating vegetables, my grandmother making meals right out of the garden from the farm, you know, butchering our own, you know, beef and, you know, venison, whatever it was. It was all pretty much from the land, maple syrup, of course. And now it's just full circle, and I'm really feeling honored and blessed in being able to be part of the farm to table thing.
Well, about a minute apiece for all three of you as we close the hour, and I think our listeners will appreciate this because this time of year especially, when the air doesn't hurt and when everything is beautiful and you get these moments of either tranquility or excitement. Everybody's got a favorite place. Maybe it's your back porch or a place to have a cup of coffee, or maybe for you it's when a dinner crowd's going crazy, or maybe it's when it's over and you're looking at, I want one moment of the day that's your favorite time of day and your favorite moment this year. It could be anywhere in your places of business, but give me that little moment, about a minute apiece.
I would say my favorite is probably early morning at the farm. Currently, I live in Naples, and I'm still renting a house. I don't have a place of my own yet. And just being at the farm in the morning, harvesting things, is just such a pure joy that really just fills me and makes me happy and makes me remember, this is why I'm working so hard. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing this. And despite the fact that I've been farming and growing things for, I think, 9 years now, every time I harvest something that I've grown, I can't help but feel like, holy, you know, I did this. I made this happen. And it's a fulfillment and it's a joy. And sometimes getting to share it, you know, with Dan or with Brian or somebody else who's there to be like, wow, that's yay, great. This is awesome.
Awesome. Dan.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes the highlight of my day is just being on the farm and just absorbing the magic of it. But I like the early mornings in the restaurant, in the kitchen itself, when there's no one else around and I can just get my craft going and get things cranking up and hearing the sounds of things starting to cook and just walking through the walk-in and just imagining. It's like a temple to me. I can't believe I get paid for it sometimes. As hard as I work, it's still amazing to enjoy it so much and still get paid for it.
Natalie.
So the moment that guests that have been to the hotel in the past, when it was Rainbow Cove, walk in and they see the difference, the surprise on their face of how much different it looks. I mean, it makes it all worth it because we spent so much time picking every piece. We picked up every piece of plate and glass and every piece of silverware and the rugs and the shiplock that we put on the walls and everything. So when it all came together and guests walk in and are blown away by the beauty, that's huge for me. And moments like last night, the full moon last night over the lake, every guest in the hotel came outside, and Julie Adams and I, the bar manager, we sat down and just took a minute to stare at how big and beautiful that moon was. There was guests that were staying up in a room that woke up their kids to take them out because they don't get to see things like that very often. And it was just perfect, those moments.
Good luck to Plum Point and Park Inn. You'll find Plum Point Lodge and Sepulta Dining on the west side of Seneca Lake. Thank you. Thanks for being here and sharing the story.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Dan and Chelsea from Park Inn. You'll find it on the square in Hammondsport at the southern end of Keuka Lake. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great stuff this hour. A lot of fun. Our thanks to Josephine volunteering. Thanks for the great work as always. Thank you, Josephine. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.